You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Wednesday, June 30th, 2021, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, something pretty weird just happened in Major League Baseball. The Baltimore Orioles went on the road and have clinched a series victory over the red-hot Houston Astros, who've been playing like one of the best five teams in baseball. But not this series, and especially not last night, as the Orioles took it to them with a 13-3 win in Houston in Game 2 of the series. They've taken the first two. We will recap that game, give you the five things you need to know from a wonderful, exciting, enjoyable, pretty much checks off all the boxes for Orioles wins this season. And then we've got a special guest on today's episode of the pod. It is Orioles minor league infielder Toby Welk, who was promoted to AA with the Bowie Bay Sox last week and has been crushing the baseball with Bowie through seven games. Frankly, he's been crushing the baseball his entire minor league career since the Orioles drafted him in the 21st round of the 2019 draft out of Penn State Berks, a Division III school. Yeah, Toby was the D3 baseball player of the year in 2019, had an incredible career at the Division III level. And I talk with him a lot about that D3 baseball career, talk about his career so far with the Orioles, who has helped him continue to get this hot bat going, what his goals are in this system. And then, we talk a little bit at the end, a little rapid-fire question, and he answers the age-old question that you ask to any Pennsylvania native, Wawa or Sheets. So that is all coming up on this episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. You can download the Spotify Green Room app and join me every week to talk Orioles and get in on the action. So before we get to our conversation with Toby Welk, got to talk about that Orioles game from Tuesday night. My goodness, the Orioles beat the Astros 13-3 in Houston. This is an Orioles team that had lost 20 road games in a row before last Friday. This is an Orioles team that got clobbered by the Astros, swept in a three-game series at Camden Yards just last week. Now the Orioles have come in and taken the first two and just bludgeoned the Astros with 22 runs through two games. 31 hits for the Orioles through two games. And last night with the win, Orioles now 26-54 through now 80 games of the season. After tonight's game, the Orioles will be halfway through this 2021 season. Seems like it's gone by pretty quickly, to be honest. But need to get you the five things you need to know from the Orioles 13-3 win over the Astros on Tuesday night. And the first thing you need to know is that offense, it stepped up once again. Everybody was in on the act pretty much. Really, there was only one Orioles hitter who did not contribute in this game. And that surprisingly was Ryan Mountcastle, who has been hitting over 360 in June and is probably going to win AL Player of the Month, or at least AL Rookie of the Month. He was 0-for-5 with two strikeouts. The only other guy with an 0-for was Ryan McKenna, who was 0-for-4 but did walk once and score a run. Everybody else was dominant. Cedric Mullins, four hits. Austin Hayes, Santander, Urias, and Wins, all with two hits. Michael Franco had three hits. Even Domingo Leyva had a knock in this game as well. 13 runs on 16 hits. Everybody contributed. The Orioles hit four home runs in the game. And, the big thing was, they scored late, similar to what they did in Monday night's win. Remember, the game was tied at 4-8 innings on Monday night. They put up a 5 spot in the 9th inning. They did all the scoring late in this one as well. Game was tied here as well, 3-3. You had a Cedric Mullins RBI double in the 7th, put the Orioles up 4-3. Then the O's add 5 in the 8th with a Santander homer, and then the big swing being the Michael Franco bases clearing double. And then they add 4 more in the 9th. The Astros went to a position player on the mound against the Orioles. What bizarro world is this? Astros infielder Robel Garcia came in on the mound, and Ramon Urias and Austin Wins each hit 2-run homers off of him in the 9th inning for a 4-run 9th to put the game away at 13-3. Second thing you need to know goes over to the pitching side, because it was quite the group effort by the Orioles, but you got to give them credit for only having to use 4 pitchers in Tuesday night's win, despite not only starting Travis Lakins for the first time in an Orioles uniform, but him leaving after just an inning and two-thirds with some elbow soreness, that two things put together could have made for a pretty bad decision and pretty bad situation for Orioles pitching. But instead, after Lakins allowed a run on a hit, walked three, struck out none over an inning and two-thirds, the Orioles combined to do a great thing. Adam Pletko, two scoreless innings. Alexander Wells, two and two-thirds, two runs. And then Dylan Tate, two and two-thirds scoreless to record his first career save to finish off the game. Great job by Orioles pitching. Third thing you need to know from the game, specifically from the offense, is that for the first time in a while, at least at the plate, it looked like Anthony Santander was kind of back to his old self. And, you know, it wasn't a crazy great game, but he had a big home run in this one. Came up in the eighth inning. It was a 4-3 game, top of the eighth. He hits a screaming solo shot out to right field to double the Orioles' lead, provide a little bit of padding with a solo home run in the game. He hit it from the left side. It was a rocket shot out to the short porch in right field in Houston, but got himself a homer and then, you know, got himself on the board as well in the ninth inning. Obviously, there was a position player pitching, but got himself a single to end the day 2-for-4 with the homer and RBI. He drew a walk as well. Was DHing again because that ankle is still bothering him, but he did look a lot more comfortable at the plate. Fourth thing you need to know from the game is Cedric Mullins. You need to know Cedric Mullins. Cedric Mullins, Cedric Mullins. Cedric Mullins. And, you know, I saw a stat put out there, I believe by Rakabako of Masson Sports, that Cedric Mullins is hitting about 430 in Orioles wins. You know, he's now hitting 323 on the season with a 946 OPS, but the average is up around 450, something like that in Orioles victories. He goes 4-for-5 on the game, was the offensive star in this one. He had a double. He scored a run. He hit a leadoff home run to start this game, put the Orioles up 1-0 in the top of the first. Just a laser shot on a high fastball from the Astros starter, Jose Urquidy. Again, the two RBIs on the day. He had the RBI double, the go-ahead shot in the seventh, the solo homer in the first. Also drew a walk. His only out was a strikeout, but just a ridiculous game for the Orioles and for Cedric Mullins, who continues to show you that he should be an all-star starter. And I think it's going to happen. It should happen. I think it's going to happen. Fifth and final thing you need to know from the game, just more of a general big picture thing. The Orioles actually jumped on an opportunity here. Now, unfortunately for the Astros, Jose Urquidy, who, you know, was really came onto the scene, if you remember, in the 2019 World Series, hadn't really pitched much for the Astros in 2019. And then because of some injuries, they had to use him. I believe it was game 4 of the 2019 World Series against the Nationals, had to start him, and he pitched very well. And he's kind of been in their rotation since. He left the game with an injury, pitched just an inning and a third in this one, gave up a run on a hit, gave up the home run to Mullins, no strikeouts, no walks, had to leave the game in the second inning. And the Orioles actually jumped on an Astros team that just lost their starter after only getting 4 outs and now had to scramble and use a bullpen, which had already been used a good amount on Monday night in the Orioles 9-7 victory in Game 1. And now it didn't happen immediately. I mean, Andre Scrub came in to replace Urquidy, and he threw 2 2/3 of scoreless baseball. But after that, the Orioles jumped on Brooks Raley, jumped on Ralph Garza. They got 5 runs off of Ryan Stanek and got to Blake Taylor. And then, of course, to Robel Garcia, the position player. But, you know, they took advantage, really, in this game of the Astros, you know, not having the pitching they wanted because their starter left with injury. We hope Urquidy is okay. But, you know, that's sometimes this season, the Orioles, you know, you're going to get breaks like that and you're going to get chances and opportunities. And the Orioles haven't done a lot of taking advantage of those this season, obviously by the 26-54 record, but they did it last night and the Orioles went at 13-3 and they have won a series in Houston and they're going to go for the sweep tonight. But we will talk about that a little bit later because first we've got a special guest on the program today, as we mentioned at the top. Orioles minor league infielder Toby Welk is joining the podcast today. Orioles 21st round pick in 2019 out of Penn State Berks at the D3 level. Just got promoted to Double-A Bowie after he was once again crushing the ball at High A Aberdeen to start this season. 36 games in Aberdeen, was hitting .265, .367 on base, a couple of homers, 5 RBIs, 20 walks in the 36 games. Now, since he's been called up, 7 games at Bowie, he is 8-for-24 at the dish with 3 home runs, a double, 4 RBIs, and 7 walks to 8 strikeouts. He's also stolen a bag. And guess what? He homered on Tuesday night. That was after we had had our chat, so he is one for one in games with a homer since appearing on the Locked On Orioles podcast. But now you're going to hear that conversation with Toby Welk. We talk about his college career at the D3 level, how he put up gaudy numbers, and when he kind of knew that he was going to be drafted out of that level of baseball. We're going to talk about his time in the Orioles system so far and how he's been able to rise up that system so quickly. And then we ask the age-old question, Wawa or Sheets? So that's all coming up after the break as we are joined by Orioles minor league infielder Toby Welk. So we'll get to our conversation with Toby Welk in just a second, but first, this episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Orioles once a week, so yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Spotify Green Room, it's the perfect place to start or join conversations about Major League Baseball. You have a chance to chat with me and might even have a chance to be featured on the Locked On Orioles podcast through our Spotify Green Room conversations. So go download the free Spotify Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. And follow me at Connor Newcomb to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I'm planning to be live every week. Can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Orioles. See you there at Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, so we are joined by Orioles minor leaguer Toby Welk here on the podcast today. He is now with the AA Bowie Bay Sox, a former 21st round pick by the Orioles back in 2019. And Toby, first of all, thank you so much for joining us here from an interesting podcast location as you're on the bus to Akron with the Bay Sox today.
Yeah, we are. Thank you for having me, man. It's awesome to be back. It's great to be up in Bowie. Got to do what you got to do, you know.
And so, you know, I want to start there because, you know, you just had your first week of double-A baseball playing with the Bay Sox. And I'd say you finished it out pretty strong, a couple of home runs over the weekend in your last three games. And I know a lot of players I've talked to and, you know, people just talk about in general that high A to double A can be kind of the toughest leap to make. Have you felt that so far? What's that leap in competition been like so far this week?
It's really just been, you know, a different atmosphere, you know, all new players, obviously new manager, the pitchers obviously got way better, but everybody knew that. The main thing I noticed is that guys just do not leave anything over the middle of the plate. Like, you have to really lock in on a zone. And early on there, I struggled a little bit kind of getting out of my zones, and I was swinging at stuff I didn't want to swing at and kind of come back to the dugout and having guys like Fuller and Villa in the dugout to go over with you to be like, hey, man, you know, lock it into this zone. We can't chase. We got to be strict with what we're going after and kind of just slowing the game down and just go out there with a good attitude every day and not get too down on yourself.
Yeah, you get to work with – yeah, you get to work with Coach Fuller and Bowie, and yep. You know, obviously, I know you've been able to work with Tom Eller a lot as well. Who kind of, you know, it can be those guys or other guys in the Orioles organization specifically, have you kind of worked closely with, you know, since you've been drafted?
I worked really close with Fuller. I mean, great guy. I love him. I think he's got great intent. You know, Eller, great guy too. Worked with us a lot, but I really got close with Fuller. With my hitting, you know, in spring training and everything, and kind of in the off season too, keeping up with them. And then I had another guy at my facility back home at Ascent Athletics, Travis Fitta, that worked with me, that's close with Fuller as well. So he's been, you know, they've been a big help, you know, keeping me centered and keeping me focused, using my body the correct ways and not trying to do too much with the ball.
So I want to go back to 2019, your first season with the Orioles after you get drafted. You go to Aberdeen, which, of course, then was the short season affiliate, and crushed the ball and made your way to Delmarva for those, you know, final couple of weeks of the season. But, you know, after that season, you had to feel good. You had already gotten a promotion in your first year, and then you guys lose the entire 2020 season. You know, was that disappointing just because of how hot you were at the plate, and then kind of what did you do to keep yourself busy, focused, and really in shape during the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. That, you know, it was kind of a wake up call heading to Delmarva after Aberdeen, because obviously it was that first jump, and I wasn't expecting the pitching difference to be that big, but I kind of knew with this promotion, it was the same kind of deal, you know, how to go into it. But obviously losing that year was crazy for everybody. Everybody was in the same boat, but I think the people who are going to come out on top are the people who stayed with it and, you know, kept working and kept trying to grow. And luckily I had my facility back home. It was MSI at the time, but Ascent Athletics, and I was able to, you know, socially distance and still work out with minor league guys in advance and advance my swing and still be able to get stronger in the weight room, which I think was probably the main reason why I am today.
And so, you know, you come into this year and you're back at Aberdeen, except, you know, at a different level in high A, and now you've gotten yourself to Bowie. You know, when you came into 2021, were there any goals you set for yourself? Like, you know, was getting to Bowie by some point a goal for yourself, or were there any things that, you know, you really wanted to set up before this 2021 season began?
I mean, the main goal, I think, is where everybody's trying to go, to get to Camden Yards. I think that's kind of every day wake up and think about that, you know, think about how far I've come and just try and keep working hard and having fun with my teammates. Obviously, yeah, you want to get promoted, but I kind of just want to focus one pitch at a time, one play at a time, and whatever happens, happens. I can't, you know, get too far ahead of myself.
And I did just want to ask one more Bowie question before I kind of get to some college stuff. You are now kind of in the mecca right now of Orioles minor leaguers on the Bowie Bay Sox. I mean, you get to play alongside Adley Rutschman, obviously, but other guys who are just, you know, mashing the baseball, like, you know, Robert Nystrom and Joey Ortiz. And then, you know, you get to watch Grayson Rodriguez and DL Hall and Blaine Knight and these guys pitch, you know, is you know, what was kind of the feel in the first week of this team? Because, you know, you mentioned everybody's goal is get to the big leagues. When people are kind of watching this Bowie team right now, it's kind of a gaze of like, you know, we could see pretty much all you guys in a big league uniform at some point.
Yeah. I mean, it showing up there, walking into that clubhouse, it's like looking around at the names. I'm just extremely grateful to be playing alongside of them. And I want to compete with them, you know, every day. And we're all just trying to win and we're all just trying to get there. Play with these guys is a blessing, man. It's one of the best teams in minor league baseball.
And so, you know, wanted to go back to your college days, because when people bring you up, you know, what they want to talk about is, you know, this was not a Division I college baseball player, you know, a D3 player. And, you know, I'm someone who comes from a D3 background, been working at Johns Hopkins the past couple of years with their team. And, you know, listen, this is, people say D3 baseball player, but you were also the D3 player of the year, and you were putting up some unbelievable statistics. But I just wanted to kind of go back to, you know, your recruitment. Was, you know, going to Division I, you know, on the horizon at all for you? Were you kind of set on, you know, going to somewhere like Penn State Berks, or kind of how did that, you know, play out, and how did you end up at PSU Berks?
I ended up there for the degree, actually. I looked at the school and I loved the degree, and I did engineering classes in high school and I wanted to be an engineer, and it turns out they had a baseball team. I really wasn't anything special on the diamond. I didn't really have an approach. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just loved to play. And then I kind of, when I showed up there, you know, my college coach saw me in summer ball and he was like, yeah, you come out for the team and try it out in the fall. And it was just a great atmosphere. I loved the guys there. And it was kind of the same thing. There was some really good baseball players there. It just heightened my ability. And I think that's when I started really growing as a player and started lifting weights. And next thing you know, I was hitting the ball as hard as anybody in the country. It just kind of happened so fast.
And, you know, your freshman and sophomore year there, you were great, one of the best hitters in the lineup. But I think between your sophomore and junior year at Penn State Berks, your numbers went from like great to just like they were stupid to look at. Like you were hitting almost 500 those last 2 years. So at what point did it become known to you or become known to your coaches that, like, you know, the next level was a possibility, and that, you know, the draft was a possibility and was something you had to keep in the back of your mind as well?
I think it was after my sophomore year, kind of, that my coach started being contacted a little bit. I didn't know too much about it. He knew, but he didn't want to tell me because he wanted me to keep working. You know, obviously when you have success like that, you don't want to be like, oh, well, I just have to show up and just whatever. Like I didn't want to ever have that mentality. Like when people used to come up to me and be like, hey man, you're doing great. I was always like focused on next at bat. Like I wanted to keep doing it over and over again, because I know there's guys with $100 million contracts out there that aren't playing D3 ball. So it was just kind of getting through it and just keep playing as hard as I could. And then after my junior year, actually during my junior year is when I first talked to a scout, and that was really the eye opener. And I started filling out the draft surveys and stuff like that. And then I was kind of like, all right, we got to keep going in the weight room, focus every day on what I was trying to do and take it one pitch at a time.
So what was that moment like when you get drafted by the Orioles? I believe that would have been day three of the draft in 2019 when they took you in the 21st round.
Yeah, day three, D3, the podcast about D3 baseball posted. That was a great one. But yeah, it was unreal, man. First time I ever wanted to cry, because it was just kind of the dream got realized. And it was in that moment. And I had that moment for probably 5-10 minutes, and I had my phone crashed from the notifications. People were just blowing me up, like, what the heck happened? You know, Burks posted it. It was all over the place. And I got the email of my assignment that night, and I was just ready to go play after that.
You know, being one of these guys, you know, there's a handful of you guys who have played Division III baseball who are in the minors right now. And you know, there are guys in the majors as well. But being one of those guys, I know you play against a couple of them. I know in Aberdeen, speaking of Johns Hopkins, a Hopkins guy, Josh Hedgka, is with Brooklyn. And I know there's, you know, Parsons over in St. Louis, and he's getting pretty close to the big leagues. You know, is there any sort of little fraternity of you guys? You know, do you at least, you know, let each other know you're there or say hi when you play against each other? Is there some sort of extra chip maybe that you guys all have as you're going up through the minor league ranks?
I mean, for sure. Whenever you hear there's another D3 guy in the lineup, fires me up, obviously. It's great to hear. I mean, I'm not really too close with a bunch of those guys, but obviously I'd always have their back, you know, if they reached out or anything like that. And then I was playing with Nick Roth, and that was awesome when we were on the field together. Always was like that camaraderie, you know, when he was on the mound, if something wasn't going his way, you know, I was always yelling for him, you know, cheering him on while I'm on the field with him. So, yeah, I mean, we haven't really gotten too close with some of the other guys from the other orgs, but obviously if they ever reached out, you know, it's that D3 camaraderie. It's always there.
Well, Toby, I'm going to let you go in a sec, but did have a couple of rapid fire questions for you here at the end
before.
I let you go and enjoy the rest of your bus ride to Akron. But since we were talking about Division III baseball, I do want to start there. First rapid fire is the best part of playing at the Division III level.
Regionals, for sure. Definitely the regionals, because it makes you feel like you're at a higher level.
And then on the flip side, what's the worst part? You know, maybe something that makes you roll your eyes as you're playing Division III baseball.
The worst part was not having a clubhouse in college and having to show up to the field in my uniform for games.
I think that a lot of people can relate to that one as well. I know you're a PA guy, so I got to ask, and you know, I don't know if you have a strong take on this question, but I got to ask, Wawa or Sheets?
Wawa.
That's the correct answer. And you know what? We're just going to end the podcast right there, because you went with the correct answer. And that's a perfect ending place. But Toby, thank you so much for joining us, talking a little bit about your career and doing it on a bus ride as well, which is obviously the true minor league experience here on the pod. But thanks again.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So we'll get back to the Locked On Orioles podcast in just a second, but first got to tell you about Built Bar and the 9 delicious flavors of protein bars. Now, you can get coconut, you can get raspberry, you can get mint brownie, salted caramel, my personal favorite, peanut butter brownie, just to name a few. So really there's a flavor for everyone, but you know, maybe you haven't picked your favorite flavor. If that's the case, you can go to BuiltBar.com. You can order a mixed box where you will get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Then you'll have a great chance to pick your favorite. But not only are all the flavors of Built Bars the best tasting, but they're healthy too. That's really the best part. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. So order today. Get the raspberry, the mint brownie, maybe the peanut butter brownie, or whatever you might like. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Now, we've got a lot of baseball action going on right now. You can track all of it at BetOnline.ag. And it's not just for the games. You know, maybe you want to bet on the Home Run Derby. Maybe you want to put some money on Trey Mancini winning the Home Run Derby, as that was finally official as of yesterday. You can do it all at betonline.ag. You can get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, not just Major League Baseball, but how about the NBA in the conference finals or the NHL as the Stanley Cup finals started on Monday night. So before the next pitch, tip-off, or puck drop, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Head to the website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So our thanks again to Orioles minor leaguer Toby Welk for joining the podcast this week as he was on the bus with the team as we talked actually on Monday morning as the Bay Sox made their way to Akron to take on the Rubber Ducks, who they will play in a six-game series this week. That is the AA affiliate for Cleveland. And Welk, of course, you know, had a good first week in Bowie after getting his promotion to AA from High A Aberdeen. And he has just hit and hit and hit at every single level he has been at, you know, not just in college, but of course, all throughout the Orioles minor leagues. He's already played at four different levels, you know, short season when it existed, then low A, high A, and double A. And Toby Welk is a guy, if he continues to hit, you know, he was a four-year college guy, you know, playing at the D3 level. Would not be surprised to see him get some ABs at AAA Norfolk maybe late in this season and set himself up to be knocking on the major league door, you know, some point late in 2022. I mean, he's got that kind of age because he's older. He's got that kind of hitting ability that, you know, we're not exactly sure what his position is. You know, he was playing first base in Bowie's lineup on Tuesday night. You know, he's played some third base as well. They may try to stick him in a corner outfield, see how he works out there. But he can hit, and if you can hit, you're going to stay in the organization. You're going to stay moving up in the organization if you can continue to hit like he has. And you know, if you haven't seen Toby Welk's numbers at Penn State Berks before, I mean, there's obviously a reason he won the National D3 Player of the Year back in 2019, but just go take a look at these numbers. I mean, they're absolutely ridiculous. Just to give you the little sneak peek, you know, I talked about it in the interview with Toby, but like his senior year, he had 145 at-bats and he hit .483. He was on base .555. His junior year, he had an on-base percentage of .599, an average of .492. Dude almost hit .500 with a .600 on base. He slugged over 1,000 in 2018. Let me say that again. It was not an OPS over 1,000. Of course, it was, obviously. He slugged over 1,000. His OPS was north of 1,600 in his junior year at Penn State Berks. This dude was a ridiculous hitter at that level. He continues to be a ridiculous hitter at the minor league level and really crushes lefties as a right-handed hitter, but you know, holds his own very well against righties as well. And I think he's got a chance to continue to move up this Orioles system. But speaking of the O's at the major league level, that's where Toby Welk is trying to get to. That's what he talked about in that interview. Of course, the most important thing he talked about was that he chose Wawa over Sheets in the great debate for people, not just from Pennsylvania, but from the Mid-Atlantic area. But the Orioles, you know, speaking of them, hopefully Toby Welk does get there somewhat soon. Would love to have a fan of Wawa in the big leagues, and of course would love to see Toby in the big leagues. He's got a skill set. That bat's going to play at every single level as he continues to develop. But the O's tonight will play the final game of the three-game series in Houston against Astros, and they do have a couple of guys that were actually added to the taxi squad on Tuesday before the game. We're not activated to the active roster yet, but a couple of guys who would be looking to make their major league debuts. That is two right-handed pitchers, Spencer Watkins and Connor Green. Both of those guys were minor league free agent signings by the Orioles this offseason. Both have pitched all year so far at AAA Norfolk for the Orioles. Both have put up
pretty solid numbers at AAA. Connor Green, a big, tall righty who's been in a bunch of organizations, can hit 100 with his fastball, just can have some command issues. And then Watkins, you know, was with the Tigers org for a while, just couldn't make his way out of AAA, and has been pitching really well for the Tides. Both those guys are in Houston on the taxi squads. If the Orioles feel like, you know, they need some more arms, maybe later today they could activate one of those guys. Now, there would have to be a move made because neither pitcher is on the 40-man roster, so someone would have to get DFA'd. But we talked about that yesterday. Really, the top candidates would be, you know, maybe a guy like a Connor Wade would probably be your number one candidate to get DFA'd after he was optioned back down on Sunday. But speaking of tonight's game, the final of a three-game series between the Astros and the Orioles before the O's get a day off tomorrow on Thursday. But last day of June here for the Orioles, and the veteran right-hander Matt Harvey is going to go back out there for the O's, make his 17th start. He's got a 7.54 ERA on the season, and after really just 2 months of horrendous starts, Matt Harvey finally kind of pulled it back together in his last start in Buffalo. 5 2/3, 3 runs, 6 hits, 2 Ks and 1 walk, and it was the game the Orioles won back on Friday night. We'll see if he can build on that against a tough Houston offense. And it'll be the rookie going for the Astros. 24-year-old right-hander Luis Garcia is going to make his 16th appearance for Houston this year. He has been absolutely fantastic. One of the front runners for AL Rookie of the Year at this point. Has a 2.83 ERA and 85 strikeouts in 76 1/3 innings so far this year. For Garcia, his last start in Detroit came last week. 6 innings, 2 runs, 7 hits, 5 strikeouts. And 2 walks for the, again, rookie right-hander Luis Garcia. What the Orioles will see from him tonight, 5-pitch pitcher. He throws his 4-seamer about 48% of the time. Then he does like to throw a cutter about 20% of the time. Then he'll mix in a slider, a changeup, and a curveball as well. For Garcia, you'll see the fastball, you know, it's right around 92 to 94 miles an hour. The cutter a little slower, 86 87, and then he'll drop some breaking pitches in there as well. But he has been really good this season. Be a tough matchup for the O's. But again, the Orioles will finish out the series tonight, then an off day on Thursday as they travel even further out west. They will play the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. That will be this weekend out in Anaheim. A couple of late starts for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. But we'll preview that series on Friday's episode. Of course, the Orioles will get to take on Shohei Ohtani. When we get back on tomorrow's episode, we actually have a special guest coming up. Before we tell you about that, though, I do have to tell you about another podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. That is the Locked On Today podcast. And today on the Locked On Today podcast, the Los Angeles Clippers are back in the game. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. And, you know, here on the Locked On Orioles podcast, if you like what you're hearing, make sure to like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever listening platform you're on right now, whether it be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or whatever it may be. Also, give us a rating and a review, especially on Apple Podcasts, if you can. That really helps out the pod. But we've got a fun guest coming up for you for tomorrow's episode. Of course, we'll start tomorrow's episode by recapping the action of tonight's Game 3 of the series between the Orioles and the Astros. But then we're going to talk to a former Oriole, a member of the 2012 Orioles team, one of everyone's favorite teams and my personal favorite team that I have watched in my lifetime. The right-hander Steve Johnson, who of course comes from an Orioles family and pitched for that 2012 Orioles team. He is going to join the podcast. We're going to talk about his days with the Orioles, what he has done since the end of his professional baseball career. And we're going to get his thoughts on the sticky stuff enforcement in Major League Baseball. Of course, Mariners left-hander Hector Santiago the other day was the first pitcher since they started the enforcement to get ejected and then suspended for having some sort of foreign substance on his glove. But we're going to talk about Steve Johnson because he has been kind of vocal on social media about his thoughts on this sticky stuff enforcement for Major League Baseball. We'll talk about why you need it, why it, you know, might be adding to more injuries, this enforcement here, and get all his thoughts on what's really going through the minds of pitchers in Major League Baseball right now. So great conversation coming up with Steve Johnson on tomorrow's episode. You will not want to miss it. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb, and this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.